Next matter this morning will be State versus Rahm.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, I'm Jennifer Swigert here on behalf of the appellant, Mr. Vinod Rahm. I would like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal, please.
Okay, proceed.
Restitution may be awarded only for easily ascertainable damages for loss of property. There are a couple of other bases, none of which is applicable here. And in the restitution hearing, the state bears the burden to establish a reasonable basis for at least estimating the actual loss to the victim. The court here awarded restitution to 13 parties without any evidence that provides a reasonable basis for estimating any loss to them.
I thought the retail charge slips that they were invoiced came into evidence.
Yes, Your Honor. The retail slips did come into evidence, establishing
that. Isn't that as a starting place, a reasonable basis for restitution?
It might be if that were the only evidence before the court. But that's not the case here. Instead, the defense presented some additional evidence. They found they had information directly from one of the card companies, from PetroCard, that they had in fact waived the charges and not charged their customers anything. So for at least seven of the victim companies in this case, we know that they suffered no loss whatsoever.
What was the nature of the evidence? Did Petro provide declarations or did their employees testify?
No, Your Honor. It was a declaration from Ray Ward, the defense investigator, that he had spoken with PetroCard employees and had been given that information. And that, Your Honor's question brings up one of the arguments the state made in their case, which was that the court could have rejected this declaration as not a credible source of information, which is indeed true. That would be within the trial court's discretion. But there's no evidence that that the trial court did so in this case. And so there's no basis for this court on appeal to be making that sort of credibility determination when the trial court didn't do that. The trial court simply appears to have assumed that the retail basis that these fuel card companies, the retail price, I'm sorry, that these real fuel card companies would have charged to their customers was somehow the same as the cost to the fuel companies of replacing the lost fuel. And that's simply an assumption, not, it's a speculation, it's a conjecture, it's not any reasonable basis. The only way that this restitution award is appropriate is if the retail price charged by the card companies is roughly the same as their replacement cost, their cost of obtaining that fuel. And if that were the case, these companies wouldn't be in business. Every business has a profit markup. That's how they survive financially. And it's pretty well, I think, understood as common knowledge that those profit margins can vary widely from industry to industry, from business to business. And there was absolutely no evidence presented in this case as to what that difference might be. PetroCard, in fact, the defense investigator asked PetroCard, can you give us some information about, you know, what your actual loss was? What did it cost you to replace this fuel so that you could continue providing it to your customers? And they declined to provide that information. The state also could have presented some alternative form of evidence, perhaps if they had brought in an expert to talk about average profit margins in this industry, that might have provided a reasonable basis for estimating the loss to these fuel card companies, but they didn't do that either. The court simply speculated that there must be only a small difference between the cost of replacing this fuel and the cost of that they would have charged to their customers in retail, and there was simply was no basis for that assumption. I wanted to briefly address a second point from the state's brief. They were arguing that somehow this is not a problem because the statute provides that restitution can be in the amount of double the victim's loss or the offender's gain. But State v. Fleming makes clear that this doubling provision is meant to be intentionally imposed. It's not simply a fail-safe for an erroneous restitution order. Just because it seems to be within double the amount is not a basis for affirming a restitution order. The crux of our argument, Your Honor, is there is this difference between the retail price that these companies could have charged to their customers but didn't, and that indeed was well established by the evidence at trial, and then the actual replacement cost to these fuel card companies, and there simply is no evidence of that whatsoever.
But the retailers whose identity was stolen are the ones who were the victims of the crime, and the victim is the one entitled to restitution, correct?
Yes, the statute does talk about restitution to victims, and so in the sense that their identity was stolen, they were victims.
And because there was a contractual relationship, the wholesalers had a right to bill for the fuel that was consumed under that identity, did they not?
I believe they had a right to. But
so the only way that they became at a loss was voluntarily. So how do they qualify as a victim entitled to restitution if they voluntarily assumed a loss?
Because they did suffer a loss. A victim is actually defined as someone who suffers a loss as a result of a crime. And it doesn't matter if they undertook that obligation voluntarily or not. I'm blanking on the name of the case. Let me just briefly. There was a case where the city of Seattle was paying lost wages for victims of a crime, and they were the employer of these victims. And the city of Seattle was not obligated to pay these victims for the time that they had lost, but they opted to do so. And it was argued on appeal that the city of Seattle should not be reimbursed because they had undertaken this obligation voluntarily. And the court rejected that.
So there they acted like an insurer or a surety.
That was State v. Davison. I just found the case name. It was a Washington Supreme Court case from 1991.
And so you would say Petro here is in the same position. They're just voluntarily, or it's good for business stepping in and saying we're going to absorb their loss.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And at that point, you're disputing the amount.
That's correct. And the state made no attempt to even establish that amount. We're not talking about simply a situation where it is sort of vaguely analogous to the insurance situation, but it's not akin to like a burglary where something is stolen and then the insurance company, reimburses the owner for that object, because we don't have these cardholder companies never actually suffered the loss in the first place. It's not a case of PetroCard reimbursing them. And it's also not the same because the amount is drastically different.
But isn't it? The fuel's gone. And the profit they would have had on the fuel is gone. Aren't those the two components of the retail price?
But they didn't actually lose any profit. That was also well established by Mr. Ward's declaration, was that PetroCard did not suffer any sort of glitch in their supply chain. They simply replaced it. They did not miss out on any sales as a result of this situation. So they didn't lose any profit. So if they're to be awarded the full retail price, they're essentially achieving a windfall in terms of that profit on sales that they didn't miss out on as a matter of actual fact. There certainly was a potential for that, but it didn't actually happen in this case. And that's actually I wanted to talk briefly about State v. Tobin as well. The state relies on that and argues this is just a question of sorting out between them who's actually entitled to it. In that case, there were geoduck clams that may have been stolen from tribal waters or state waters. But in that case, you had an expert testifying as to the market value of the clams that were stolen, and that market value would have been the same whether they were taken from the state or the tribe. That's not the case here. The loss to the card companies was very different, and so we would ask the court to reverse the term of the restitution order. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Stephanie Guthrie, Deputy Prosecuting Attorney for King County on behalf of the state of Washington. This court should hold that the trial court properly exercised its discretion when setting both the amount and the payees of the defendant's restitution obligation. The state is not relying on the doubling provision here to defend the trial court's order. It is relying on the fact that the statute specifically allows restitution to be based on the amount of the offender's gain. The price at the pump, which Mr. Rahm did not pay in obtaining the fuel, is what he gained. Now, defense counsel argued in their reply brief that, because he resold it for less than sticker price, his gain was not the sticker price. But if we assume that the price at the pump was $4 a gallon, it doesn't matter whether he resells it for $2 or $20 a gallon. He's still $4 a gallon better off than he would have been had he obtained the fuel lawfully by paying the price at the pump. So the sticker price was absolutely a proper basis of restitution regardless of who the payee is, because that's the amount that he gained by stealing the fuel rather than paying for it at the pump like a lawful customer. So once we know that the amount is the same, the trial court properly exercised its discretion in setting the payee at the victims who incurred the initial financial injury. The SRA includes in the victim definition of a victim the person who incurs a financial injury. Incurring debt is absolutely a financial injury. As Judge Applick points out, the card companies have no obligation to relieve the victims of that debt. And until they do, that remains an injury to the victim for which restitution is proper.
All right, but we've got an investigator with sworn testimony that Petco, in fact, was relieving seven of the victims of their obligations.
Yes, and here is where
no finding about credibility, no express finding.
No express finding, but if the trial court had found that credible and decided that that was enough to persuade her that these victims really had been relieved of their responsibility, she presumably would have ordered restitution to those entities. In the fact that she did not, we can infer that she found that that evidence was not sufficient.
Did the state challenge the evidence? Hearsay or challenges credibility or seek a determination?
The state argued that that declaration was not sufficient to establish that the original the trucking company victims should not be paid restitution. This was a situation where the restitution hearing had been continued multiple times at Mr. Rahm's request, saying he was going to prepare some expert financial report, which then never materialized. And so the state was essentially in the position of saying, let's get this done now. Let's order this restitution properly to these initial victims. There was an express provision put in the order that the order would be provided to the fuel card companies, and if any of them indicated that they had in fact indicated to the court or to the state that they had relieved the victims, the court was going to said it would be readdressed.
Does the court have authority to do that? That's more than 180 days after the...
Yes, the court absolutely has the authority to do that, because it is only the amount of restitution that must be determined within 180 days. That's what the statute says. The payee can be modified properly more than 180 days later, and new evidence can be introduced about the property payee more than 100 days later. Nowhere does the statute say that the payee must be set within 180 days. It is only the amount. And we know from cases like Edelman and Caro that it is proper to change the payee more than 100 days later based on new evidence. And so there's nothing that prohibits a modification later or new evidence to support a modification later, which is why even if this court were to find error as to the payees, the proper remedy is remand, because new evidence is permissible, and frankly because here we don't even need new evidence, because as the defendant has basically conceded, the solution of Tobin, ordering it to both victims and having them sorted out between them, would have been proper. And that's certainly a modification that could be made with no new evidence here. But here, because the price of the pump was the proper amount to base restitution, and because what the court knew for sure, based on the testimony by the victims themselves at trial, was that they had incurred a financial injury when they were saddled with these tens of thousands, almost $100,000 in debt in some cases. That was the injury. And when there was uncertainty as to whether that injury had been relieved and some other party had subsumed that injury, the trial court was very right to exercise their discretion to say, let's go with what we know for sure, which is who took the original injury, and then we will, if the card companies asked to be substituted, we will do that. But the court was under no obligation to take this hearsay declaration from a defense investigator as to what one card company had said and apply that to all these victims. And we know that the court chose not to base their decision on that because she didn't. But I would also point out, too, that we know from the Court of Appeals opinion in Tobin that the defendant doesn't even have standing to challenge to assert the fuel card company's right to be substituted as a payee.
But they have the right to challenge the proper amount.
They
and
do.
To the extent that it's been paid by someone else, is there a loss?
Well, The defendant is not disputing that there was a loss by someone. They're arguing that the amount depends on who bore the loss, which is not correct based on the statute and the law.
I think their argument is that if the wholesaler waived the charges to their retail customer, their only loss is their acquisition cost, which there's no evidence of.
But the victim's loss is not the only proper measure of restitution. The defendant's gain, which is what the court used here, is a proper measure of restitution. The argument that, it's all about the replacement cost, essentially argues that only the victim's loss and not the defendant's gain may be the measure of restitution. That's simply not what our statute says. I would also point out that there's zero evidence in the record that the fuel card companies suffered no lost sales as a result of needing to replace this fuel. All the declaration said was, we replaced the fuel and absorbed the cost. There was no information about whether they lost sales in the meantime, whether they incurred additional costs of time or expense in arranging for replacement or any of that. And it's not that the card companies declined to provide this information. It's simply that the one person the defense investigator talked to said, I don't know that information. And no one else went on a hunt for that. And the state wasn't obligated to under this circumstance. Yes, the state could have sought out that information before the hearing. But when it had been continued multiple times and the defendant was delaying and delaying and delaying, and we had proved at trial that these victims incurred the initial injury, it was absolutely not an abuse of the court's discretion to say we're going to order restitution to the victims that we know incurred the initial injury, and if the fuel card companies ask to be substituted by indicating that they bore the loss, we will make that adjustment. And that adjustment can still be made as soon as jurisdiction returns to the trial court if the card companies indicated that to the court. But here the court absolutely properly exercised its discretion, and we would ask the court to uphold that restitution order.
All right. Thank you.
Just a few brief points in rebuttal, Your Honor. I would like to start by pointing the court to what the trial court actually said when it was discussing what Judge Shapiro actually said when she was discussing her ruling. She said, part of my thinking is that the companies we're looking at are not full retailers. They sell to truckers and others at a reduced rate from what the average person would pay. It's not the same markup as I would pay. So essentially, what she was basing her decision on was the assumption that in this particular case, there was not as big of a difference as one might expect between the retail value and the replacement value to the fuel card companies. And there simply is no evidence for that assumption. So she wasn't basing her decision on any sort of idea that Mr. Rahm had actual gains in these amounts. We know that he didn't have actual gains in these amounts. And that's what the statute has repeatedly been interpreted as, requiring evidence of the actual gain, not the potential gain to the offender.
Well, the actual gain could have been the retail pump price that he would have otherwise had to pay if he purchased that at retail.
Could have been, except
legal.
That he didn't actually gain in that amount. And so, and the statute has frequently been interpreted as referring to the actual gain, and that's not what we have here. That ruling by Judge Shapiro also demonstrates that she wasn't making any sort of an implicit determination as to the credibility of the information provided by Mr. Ward. And just briefly in terms of the remand, State v. Griffith talks about the fact that no new evidence is permissible to establish the initial award. State v. Gray, that's relied on by the state, is talking about a modification after an initial amount has already been appropriately determined, not a second bite at the apple to present new evidence regarding the initial determination. And that's what the state's asking for in this case. That's what's not permitted under State v. Chipman as well.
But your client actually proposed the alternative payee, and to the extent that there's forgiveness, that's a credit against the debt. That's certainly in his favor. So wouldn't you encourage the trial court to take the evidence, additional evidence, that the card company has forgiven the debt?
Well, that evidence was presented at the that evidence was already presented at the restitution hearing, Your
but
Honor.
Not accepted.
We don't know that it wasn't accepted. Judge Shapiro's ruling seems to accept that at face value and entered a ruling on a different basis.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. That'll conclude.